From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
Well, the whole football world is focused on Houston, Texas. Here in the first week of February, you can see it's all big in Texas. And whenever the Patriots are involved, the Super Bowl is big. Number 51 gets set for Sunday. From Everbank Field and Radio Row in Houston, this is Jaguars.com Live, and I welcome you. I'm Brian Sexton, sitting in for an ailing J.P. Shadrick. He had a little surgery today, and we wish him the best. Hopefully he is watching and enjoying the afternoon and feeling good. J.P., we're thinking about you. Until then, though, we'll focus on football, and today is our normal Wednesday Jaguars.com Live. But we'll be here the next 2 days because we have a very special opportunity this week. We hope, at least, that it works the way that we think it's going to be. This is the week that perhaps Tony Boselli becomes the first Jaguar ever to make it into the Hall of Fame. And so we'll talk to him in just a couple of moments. He's with John Osier, who is out in Houston getting ready for the Super Bowl. And, of course, we'll also hear from long snapper Carson Tinker. That's what's on tap for today and what's on tap over the course of the remainder of these few days leading up to Sunday. Really, though, the big story is the pride of the Jaguars and Tony Boselli. And I think every one of us knows that Tony belongs in the Hall of Fame. In an era, the golden era of left tackles, where you had Jonathan Ogden and Orlando Pace and all of these great Walter Jones, this is the best, the very best. And, yeah, okay, so we're biased, but we're talking about a player who played at the very highest level over the course of a seven-year career. And he is right now sitting on Radio Row, taking time out of his very busy schedule, at least that's what he would tell you, because he's getting ready to be the sideline reporter for the Westwood One broadcast on Sunday of the Super Bowl game. But he's out there with John Osher, and he's had a couple of hours now to go through Radio Row and to be part of the festivities, and here's his chance to share what he's feeling just a few days away from when he'll get that phone call. John, we'll throw it out to you.
I have to ask you, Tony. Now that we're here, I noticed you've got a guy taking you around today.
Yeah, you're
like a guy.
Yeah, I feel like a pretty big deal. I mean, I think this is the first time I've had a guy.
Yeah, is that? I mean,
I guess you get a guy when you
it makes you big.
Yeah,
is the guy because you're Westwood One guy, or is the guy because you're a finalist?
I think it's probably more Westwood One.
Right.
At this point,
maybe it's just because you're Tony Boselli.
It could be. You know, it's but the good he my guy.
Right.
I should know his name, but I'm not. My guy is told me, he says, listen, I'm good luck.
Okay.
Because last time I did this, Charles Haley, and he got in.
That's pretty good.
He goes, I live in Canton. I'm from Canton. So if you got me, you're probably getting in.
Does the guy get you stuff, or does he take you around? I mean, like, is he?
He took me to the bathroom.
That's good. I like that. So in all seriousness, the topic is the topic. Anxious at all for this? Are you thinking about it? I know you're thinking about it, but what do you want to say about not thinking about it?
It's impossible not to think about
right.
it. I mean, come on. I mean, I get asked about it all the time. I'm here. It's, you know, it's a few days away that the vote's going to happen. But I'm not nervous.
Right.
I really am not. I don't spend all day thinking about it.
Right.
And part of it is I'm busy with Westwood One getting ready for the
right.
game. And trying to prepare, I got the Atlanta Falcons sideline, and there's a lot of things to do about that, and a lot of people want to talk about the game. So that is a nice distraction, I guess.
Right.
But even if I was thinking about it, I just don't think I'd be nervous, because the way I look at it is this. If it happens,
right.
it'll be life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be – what an honor. I mean, to be included with that group of guys and to be considered one of the greatest to ever play the game of
right.
football. I mean, that's a huge honor. If it doesn't, I'll still wake up, be riding next to John Osher on the plane
yeah.
and talking and complaining.
Unfortunately
and,
for you, even if you get in.
Even if I get in, I'm next to you.
It really didn't change your life that much.
But I was, someone's like, are you going to be, are you really nervous? What if you don't get in? I said, well, if I don't get in, I'm nothing changes.
Right.
It's not like right. It's not like if I don't get in, I get walked out to the firing squad. Nope, it's over.
Well, guess what? No.
Or maybe it does. I don't know about it.
In your goings-on this morning, as you're talking to media, you're here for Westwood One. Give me a breakdown. Is there a lot of Hall of Fame talk, or is it game talk? I mean, are people asking you and very aware of that?
I think every interview except for one No, except for two. Every interview has been both Hall of Fame and the Super Bowl. The other two were just Super Bowl talk about, you know, really breaking down the.
And you're down on those people right now.
Yeah, I'll never talk to them again. So it's both. People are very curious. I mean, it's, you know, and then being here all week, you run into voters and and you talk to them.
You're lobbying. You're lobbying a little
bit. I'm not. I refuse to. They ask me questions.
Right.
I mean, I've told you from day one. And I was on Titan Radio with Paul Kuhursky, who is a voter. And I said, I will never politic for this. I have too much respect for the Hall of Fame, for the guys in that room. I have too much respect for the voters in the process.
And you also have a lot of respect for the guys who are before you.
That's what I'm saying. The guys who are already in Canton.
In the building, right. Okay.
In that building.
Right.
I respect them too much. And there's a process. Everyone's had to go through it. There are 15 guys who are finalists, so 14 other besides me. Every one of them can make an argument why they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Only five are going to get in. If I'm one of those five, huge honor. If I'm not, okay. That's part of the process.
There'll be five guys who deserve it as well.
There'll be those five guys. I'm not going to sit back and say, oh, my gosh, how does he get in? No, he had a great career.
Right.
The people in that room voted for him to get in, and he deserves to be there.
I don't know how much you heard of what Tom Coughlin had to say yesterday. He spoke for about 10 or 12 minutes. Did you hear any of it, first of all?
I did not. So here's what I've done, because the Jaguars have done a great job. Dan Edwards, Tad Dickman, of collecting information, John Osher, PK, Hollywood, Big Dave.
Well, now you're going down the list.
Brian Sexton. I don't want to forget anybody. But anyway, the Jaguars organization have done a great job of putting together a package my career and things people have said about me. I will not read it. I get very uncomfortable.
I hear you.
About hearing nice things about myself. I'm much more comfortable of you when you make fun of me and say really negative things and take shots at me. That's more fun to me.
Well, most people don't know this yet. Most of my stories the next couple of days
are going to be negative. Oh, perfect. I'll read those.
I'm on the other train.
And so I saw some tweets about what Tom said and obviously, they're very nice comments with all the tweets I've read and some of the things that people have asked me based on his comments. Someone asked me, he says, what does it mean to you where Tom says you were the greatest player he ever coached?
Right.
What do you think it means?
Sure.
It's a huge honor. The guy has been coaching football since, like, the Stone Ages. I mean, he has seen everybody.
Right.
I think he was coaching in Super Bowl I.
Right.
So, I mean, he's one of the greatest coaches. He'll be in the Hall of Fame probably one day. He's one of the greatest coaches ever. So, for him to say that, I mean, Anthony Munoz, all these guys.
Right.
It's obviously unbelievable. It's overwhelming. I don't even, like, people ask me, like, what do you think? I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to think.
And I would think, though, even to have a little bit of that filtered back to you as you try to filter it out, that in itself has to make this week pretty cool no matter what happens on Saturday, correct? I mean,
I've said the whole process.
Right.
I mean, what an honor. I mean, just to get this far, the whole process has been it gets tiresome at times, and don't get me wrong, I'll be ready for Saturday to come, and I hope it works out, and if it doesn't, fine. But to have the conversations, and the fun part, and I said this before, for my kids. I remember when I got into the finalists, none of the boys were born, but they're so little, they don't remember. But for them to, like, get like, Dad, man, you were good,
and
hear people say things about you, and that's neat for me as a dad to see my kids light up when they see their dad being talked about. I mean, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable. So this has been very positive. And
how wild is it for you, you know, to hear, even filtered, considering when you played for him, it was a dramatically different relationship, obviously, with Tom.
Yeah, I don't think Tom ever said one good thing to me.
I mean, that was the thing.
I don't think I've ever heard a compliment until he left.
Yeah, I mean, that's but
here's my favorite thing about Tom. When I would play, he's a tough person to play for.
Sure.
He is a demanding individual. He is a very good coach. He can make your life miserable at times, but he's always doing it for a purpose and a reason, trying to get you better and the team better. So his success speaks for itself. I mean, he's a great coach. I never heard him say anything. I remember my first game playing against the Green Bay Packers. And
Sean Jones,
100, I think at the time he had 106 sacks going into that game. He ended up with like 120 or something. And I'd never played a preseason game.
Right.
I mean, I hadn't done anything. And I'm going out there on Sunday Night Football. Go out, and he doesn't do anything. and they get a half a tackle.
Right.
Never even got close to the quarterback or anything. I felt pretty – we got killed. But I felt pretty good about myself.
10-point game, but yeah, but close.
In the first half, right. We didn't have one first down. That's all you have to know about that game.
I was there, right.
And so we're sitting outside the meeting room, and I'm sitting there waiting to go in, and Tom walks up. And he goes, how do you think you played? I was smart enough not to say good,
right?
Even though I was a rookie. I said, okay. And he goes, that didn't mean anything. He doesn't play every snap hard.
He had something.
I'm like, yeah. He has 106 sacks. It doesn't mean anything?
Nothing?
So, but that was Tom.
Right.
I mean, he respected Sean Jones. It had nothing to do with Sean Jones. He was trying to get the rookie not to get full of himself.
Right.
I'll say this. Throughout my career, I'd have people come up to me saying Tom could not say enough nice things about you.
Right.
And I'm like, tell me?
Write me a note.
Let me know. But that was Tom's way.
Right.
He never wanted anyone to be comfortable, and he always wanted every player to be in a point of trying to get better, not being satisfied for where they were. So that had nothing to do with who you were playing.
Right, obviously you would have been the player you would have.
It was all about him trying to push it.
Right. A very quick social.
We're going to a social, like a dance?
I've always wanted to ask you, Tony.
Okay.
Five or six social questions from Twitter.
Okay.
It's a little goofy, but so are you. So
yeah, it's perfect.
From London Thortvet.
Where's that?
At Ticket Is My World. Favorite video games and movies.
Favorite video games?
That's what it says here on my screen, Tony.
Yeah, I haven't played video games for a long time. I guess the last video game I was played a little bit of when I was hurt in Houston. I got hooked on Halo. Is that a game still? Is that still around?
That was a thing then.
Yeah, so I played
Halo.
Halo
guy.
Well, with all the in the off season, that's what all the guys would do. So I played that. I'm no good at movies. I love movies, but the movies I like. Is I want a movie that is mindless, has like zero to think about, and so shoot them up, kill them.
Gotcha.
Funny. I mean, so any of those I like. Will Ferrell, big Will Ferrell fan too.
At Ty Derby writes, what was your most memorable game you ever played while with the Jags?
It's one of two. That Buffalo game was big for me and the organization playing against Bruce Smith.
Bruce Smith, your breakout game in terms of people knowing who you are.
Yeah, sure. But probably even bigger that for me personally was the Denver game the following week, only because that's where I grew up. I mean, I grew up going to Mile High Stadium, sitting in the fifth tier watching the Broncos and cheering for them. They were my favorite team growing up. Memories with my dad and going to those games. Friends going to those games.
Now, that was your second game back there. You'd played there the year before.
I played, but it was,
but it was the big game.
It was the big game. Right. And to go into that stadium and to win that game.
Right, because you knew what Elway was.
I knew what it meant. I knew what it meant to that city to have the Broncos good.
Crushed.
So, and for everyone listening and watching, to give you perspective, as big, it's like college football's huge, like in Gainesville or Tallahassee. So, if you're a Florida State fan, and they lose. It's like, oh, like the world is ending. In Denver, in Boulder, the greater region, the Denver Broncos are that. There isn't that one college team everyone saw. I mean, CU's there and everything else. But if the Broncos lose, there is a depression.
And this wasn't
that
just
enters
a
in.
Year. This
no,
was when
they
were
the best
the
team in football. And so to win that game and do that was remarkable.
Believe it or not, Carson Tinker is motioning for us to hustle up. So I'm just going to go
Hey,
ahead.
Tinker, just sit over there.
I'm going to keep going. Nervous or anxious, or maybe both?
I'm not anxious, and I'm not nervous yet. I think I will be come Saturday. I think Saturday will be a day, and especially with PK in the room with me. I mean, I'm not really looking forward to that. PK with the camera. Is that good? Is that good or bad that PK? Are you in there, too, with
I'll
me?
I'll be in there, too.
Oh, my God.
So I'll keep you humble. I'll keep you humble. Me and Angie will keep you humble. How about that?
I got two queen beds. I'm going to take a nap in one.
Fair
just leave me alone.
That's fair enough. At Colin Giuliani writes, best defensive end you ever went up against? There's probably a few.
There's some great ones. Bruce Smith was a great one. A guy that no one gives enough credit to is Michael McCrary.
Sure.
Was a great player.
Always
Man,
said
he was,
your toughest opponent.
Oh, he was so tough. The guy who gave me the hardest time that I was never comfortable with during the game was John Randall.
Yeah.
Up in Minnesota. It was loud.
Played him once, right?
Played him only once. He played defensive end. He was shorter in stature. He's a great player.
Right.
I mean, he just had a motor, and That was a tough night for all of us.
Plus, you guys were trailing the whole time, so you had a little bit
Yeah, that was bad. That was a bad – and we had our third-string quarterback in. So it wasn't a good combination in any manner for us.
Hey, but you clinched the division, so that was good.
That was the best. We get hats before the game, and they lose, like, by 50. It's like,
the hats were the best. At Bold City Cap, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Is what?
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
It's a great movie. It's one of those shoot-em-up movies. I don't care if it's a Christmas movie or not. I mean, that's a great movie. And you know, I was thinking about my favorite movie of all time. I have a couple. Can I give you a couple?
Yeah, absolutely.
Outlaw Josie Wales, Clint Eastwood.
That's a classic.
Great movie. Armageddon, Bruce Willis. Okay. Great movie.
We're learning something about you.
Great movie. And
Still Magnolias.
All six of the Rocky movies.
That's beautiful.
I could watch every Rocky movie. Everyone's like, oh, four. That's a terrible. What do you mean?
You can watch them back to back.
The training scene in the, I mean, who?
You still cry during Rocky II.
Yes.
Runs,
what he put himself through in the mountains of Siberia to get prepared for that epic battle. And the speech he gives at the end, where he unites and ends the Cold War between Russia and the United States.
And then when he shot up the terror. No, that was Rambo. So that's right.
Well, those are good movies.
And we'll close with one that's not on our chart.
Okay.
From Alfie BCC. Do you still love me, Tony?
Alfie, how can I not love you?
He's going to give the speech, isn't he, if you get in?
There's not a chance in hell that Alfie – I love Alfie, though. You know what I did do? I stopped following him for a while. You know why? Because the negativity. It was just too much.
You almost have to.
I'll go back. I'll get back on because there's a season for Alfie. Just not right now. I love him, though.
Hey, Tony, I kid you. You deserve it.
Thanks, Ozo. Appreciate it.
Back to you, Brian. How about
All right, Brian, why aren't you here working?
Next couple of days, Tony Boselli, perhaps on his way to the Hall of Fame. He'd be the first Jaguar ever inducted, although the guy that we're about to hear from is probably going in as well, and maybe he'll go in Jaguar Giant. We'll see. You know, if you were paying attention, you heard Tony say, not nervous, not nervous, early in his interview. Then, as we got to the tail end of the interview, you heard him say, I'm not nervous, but I may be on Saturday. He kind of qualified that with, because Osher's going to be in the room there. He and Pat Cavanaugh are going to be chronicling the story of Tony's phone call when he finds out the Hall of Fame class. But nevertheless, Tony is getting to that point where he's wondering. He can't stop thinking about it. A guy who's not nervous at all is the guy who picked him back in 1995. He spoke yesterday, and you could still hear the conviction in his voice. The conviction that he had the day that he had signed Tony before he ever played a down for him is the exact same that Tom Coughlin, the Jaguars executive vice president of football operations, had in his voice yesterday.
This guy is definitely a Hall of Famer now. And remember the era in which he played, there were so many great tackles. And when I think of Tony, I think of Ogden. You know, I just do. Ogden went to UCLA. Tony goes to USC. You know all about that as well. But with the era of really, really outstanding tackles, and always to have his name mentioned in that group, you know, I mentioned Rolfe, I mentioned Walter Jones, those guys. It's just a great tribute to him. Those guys are Hall of Famers. Boselli should be in the Hall of Fame.
Is he the best player you've ever coached? Is he in that conversation with some of those guys?
Yeah, he certainly is, without a doubt. You know, because he could do so many different things. He's such a great athlete on top of, you know, anything else that he does. The real thing was the competitiveness in him. You know, he'd go out on the field, and the look in his eye and the way he, you know, could dominate people really at times, no matter what you say, which run you pick, all the All-Pros, the All-Pro teams, all the things, the much deserved honors that he's received, no doubt in my mind.
Here's how good Tony Boselli was. The Jaguars have tried to replace him twice in the last 10 years. They've tried in the top 10. Eugene Monroe, Luke Jokel, not even in the same stratosphere. And if you look back, other teams have taken offensive tackles high in the draft as well. They're not even in his universe. In Jacksonville, feel safe saying we'll never see another Tony Boselli. We may see some good tackles, but not that caliber. And as I sat here and relived all of those plays, as you watched it as well, I had forgotten sometimes just how effortless it was for him to play the position at the highest level. And Anthony Munoz, who you will no doubt read or hear from in some media capacity this week, told me when he was here for the now-defunct Jasper Awards years ago, there are lots of great ones that Tony played in and around, but he's the best. The best of the best. He said, I even include myself in that. They say I'm the best. I say Tony's the best. From one USC guy to another. Well, folks, Before we go back out to Houston, let me remind you that you should have your season ticket renewals in the mail this week. They went out on Monday. Obviously, there is a world of excitement in this building and in this marketplace. You can renew your season tickets by February 28th and take care of loyalty pricing, which means you'll pay the same price that you paid in 2016. And now the ticket office has already seen a flurry of activity. Folks are excited about Doug and about Tom and what they're doing here. Plus, for the first time ever, there's a new benefit to season ticket membership: priority purchasing opportunities for concerts at Daly's Place, for acts like Zac Brown, Dierks Bentley, Chicago, and Foreigner. Jags 365 members, you should have received an email with all the details on how you can renew and be a part of 2017, both here in Everbank Field for football and the brand new Daly's Place, which opens in May of 2017. Find all the details in that email or at Jaguars.com. All right, the other big announcement for the Jaguars today, big may be a bit of an exaggeration because most of these are names that you have already heard, but the Jaguars finally unveiled their coaching staff in an official capacity today. And there's some things worth pointing out. On the offensive side of the ball, Nathaniel Hackett's the offensive coordinator. You know, though, they've got two offensive coordinators, maybe even three in a sense, that they can draw from, because not only do you have Nathaniel Hackett, who was the offensive coordinator here at the end of last season and with the Buffalo Bills, but you also have Doug Marrone, who was an offensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints when Drew Brees was the quarterback there. So there's two other guys, right, along with Scott Milanovich. So you've got a lot of offensive minds. How about the defensive side? When you look at the defensive side, Todd Wash is back as the defensive coordinator. Perry Fuel joins as the defensive backs coach, but he was a defensive coordinator for Tom Coughlin with the Giants, with the Buffalo Bills. So there's a wealth of experience there with Perry Fuel, who can work with Todd Wash, who has called the defensive signals before, formulated a defense. There is an interesting blend of depth and talent on this coaching staff, and you can connect some dots and see where things really make sense for Doug Marrone and for Tom Coughlin. Now, Marrone's the guy that everyone is interested in because, of course, he's the head coach, the former coach of the Bills, and the story has been the last 2 years, well, he walked away from that Buffalo opportunity when the ownership changed, and why did he do it, and did it benefit him, did it hurt the Bills, and that's not really the storyline anymore. The story is, who is Doug Marrone? Why was San Francisco, Los Angeles, the former Chargers in San Diego, why were these teams that were asking for permission to talk to Doug when the Jaguars had not yet decided on him? Where's the interest level? Why is he a good coach? Because that's what we hear. Why was he recommended by Tom Coughlin and other former head coaches as the guy the Jaguars should hire? Well, John Osher caught up with Drew Brees not long ago after they landed in Houston, and you might remember that Drew Brees won a Super Bowl when Doug Marrone was on that coaching staff.
He really cares about players, you know, and he's an intense guy. He's a guy that, takes his job very serious, you know, but I think at the end of the day, he really wants to see the best out of his players. He really cares for his players, and I think those are the guys that make the best head coaches, because even though they're going to be hard on you, you know, it's because, you know, they love you and they want to see the best for you.
I'll just tell you from personal experience, I saw a Tom Coughlin-esque coach when I saw Doug on the sidelines the final two games of the regular season. I saw some qualities when he was the last guy off the plane when we landed in Indianapolis and the last guy up the elevator when we got to the hotel in downtown Indianapolis. He reminds me a lot in his mannerisms and in the way that he coaches his players of Tom. And I think with Tom and Doug working together, I think there are a lot of opportunities for synergy with this football team. Obviously, we have time to see what they're able to put together. Now, a lot of the players are interested in what they put together. They know Doug. The staff's going to be new to them. And the new special teams coordinator, Joe DeCamillis, is of interest to John Osher's next guest. He's back out on Radio Row with one of the more colorful personalities in the Jaguars locker room. John's got Carson Tinker. John?
Well, I think it's safe to say it's a Hall of Fame theme today, right, Carson? Is that...
Oh, you're talking about me?
Oh, yeah. You got Tony Vassell, you got Carson Tinker ready to go.
Nah, Tony's the man. Tony's over there doing another interview right now. I see him right there. He's having
a
big weekend.
Man. So, time experiencing this part of the Super Bowl, I assume, correct?
First time experiencing any part of the Super Bowl. This is unreal. There's people all over the place over here. So, it's really cool. It's and this is the pinnacle of our sport, of our league, and it definitely lives up to the hype. There's a huge banner right in front of me saying Super Bowl. It's got Tom Brady and Matt Ryan throwing the ball. So it's really
cool.
Really cool.
And you are here because your wife's from here, correct?
Yeah, I'm here doing the whole in-law thing. We're actually flying out tomorrow, so I won't be here for the actual game. But, yeah, I always wanted to, you know, they say, oh, you got to experience the Super Bowl as an NFL player.
Right.
So I wanted to make sure that I was able to do that. I'm going to go sightsee a little bit today. But, yeah, it's really neat. Here doing the in-law thing, got to take my wife with me today, so... She's having a blast.
Now, to clarify, the in-law thing's okay, right?
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, we've all been there, though.
Okay.
You got to go spend some time with the in-laws. No, right. The in-law thing's good. I got great in-laws.
Now, we haven't really talked to you since the end of the season. Excited about the coaching change? Excited about Doug Marrone?
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah.
Right.
I love Doug. It's just, you know, as a player, I'm trying to give some insight because as a player, I am a little nervous. You know, I got to meet new people and stuff like that.
Sure.
But, no, I love Doug. I thought when Doug came in, I thought he just completely took over and did a really good job of, you know, being a head coach. And I was when we hired him, I was really happy that we hired him.
From a player's perspective, I felt a difference the last 2 weeks. I mean, just in terms of he seemed to be a guy very comfortable in the head coaching role.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't know this maybe, but during OTAs, I actually hung out with the offensive line and tried to learn the offense. That didn't go over as well as I thought it would, but way over my head. So I got to see him as an offensive line coach, which I thought he did a great job, you know, with the O-line. But then, you know, to see him take over as a head coach, I was like, wow, he owned it.
Right.
He owned it. He was a completely different, I wouldn't say completely different coach, but a completely different kind of – I don't know, personality maybe.
Right, very comfortable behind the podium.
Yeah, super comfortable and, you know, says, you know, guys, this is how it's going to be, this is how we're going to do it, and we're going to win games doing it. And sure enough, I mean, we went one for one. I thought we should have had,
right,
you know, the last one, but it was, I mean, just a really good 2 weeks.
New special teams coach, Joe DeCamillis, very respected guy, very veteran guy. What do you know about him, and what are your thoughts on how that could –
Yeah. So me and Jason and Brad, obviously keeping, you know, great contact. So we were talking about it back and forth because, you know, there was a couple names being thrown around there.
Sure.
But then when they, you know, pulled the trigger on Joe D, we were really excited. We've heard nothing but great things about him from players, from coaches. We're really close. We all had the same agent.
Okay.
So we're really close with our agent, and we asked him, and he'd heard nothing but great things. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to it. I talked to him on the phone. We're not allowed to talk about football right now, but, you know, we just kind of got to know each other, and I'm looking forward to going back to Jacksonville and touching base.
Now, big day for you, I understand, because it's signing day.
Oh, yeah, Nick Saban day. That's what they
Roll
call
tie.
It.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. I actually didn't sign, though. I didn't sign.
Is that right?
I was a preferred walk-on, so
okay.
I did not sign a letter of intent. But, yeah, I think I tweeted it a couple years ago and then retweeted it today. They got this thing where you can retweet yourself now.
Okay.
It's kind of cocky to do that. But
that's you. That's
yeah.
Fine.
So I've retweeted myself, unfortunately. But, yeah, to all the kids out there that didn't sign, you know, walk on somewhere.
Right.
It was scary, but, I mean, it pays off. You know, I wouldn't be here, obviously, if I didn't walk on. So, you know, take a chance, walk on.
And do you follow recruiting?
Not really.
Roll Tide? Nothing like that?
The further I am removed from college, I honestly don't keep up with it. I mean, I try to watch all the games this year, obviously watch the national championship game. But I think it was Jeremy Mincy, believe it or not, that said, man, Tinker, don't nobody, because my rookie year, don't nobody care about college football anymore. And I was like, come on, man, I'm always
right.
going to love Alabama football. And I still do. I mean, they'll always be my team. But, yeah, the further removed from it, I mean, I don't keep up with recruiting or anything like that. Because I don't know anybody there anymore.
Right.
So I know I'm getting old. I don't know any of the players there. So,
and you're pretty sure they probably had a good class. They're not.
Oh yeah.
You're not that worried about.
Yeah,
it.
I trust Saban. As long as Saban's there, well, I think we were number one. I did see that somewhere. So
probably so. So.
Yeah, for like the 10th year in a row or something. But
Carson, I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic having you. And
go Jags.
Hey, back to Jacksonville. Back to Brian Sexton.
All right, John. Thanks for the good work. I know you got up really early, especially for you, to get on the road to Houston, and you've got a full day. PCAV doesn't let you rest when you're on the road. Lots to get done there in Houston. And looking forward to what you've got for us tomorrow and on Friday. And that's right, folks. We will be on the air at 1 o'clock Eastern time with Jaguars.com Live each of the next 2 days, providing you the Super Bowl coverage, you know, in the way that you come to expect from us here at Jaguars.com, with a decidedly Jacksonville angle. And, of course, We'll be telling the story of Tony Boselli as he gets closer and closer to what we anticipate, what we pray for, and that is that he gets the call and is the first Jaguar in the Hall of Fame. So join us tomorrow, 1 o'clock Eastern, on your app, on the phone, or on your website, right here on Jaguars.com. For Joe Fortunato, Dave DeCandis, Hollywood Hockman, and of course, PCAV and John Osher at Radio Row in Houston. Stay tuned to Jaguars.com for the best Jaguars / Boselli / Super Bowl coverage.